I'm Elmer Dobson, and I'm interviewing Alvy Lantman at the beautiful residence of former Louis Lantman and his wife Joy, out south of Black Hawk. They have a beautiful place here with some of the most beautiful grounds I've ever seen. They're back up to the Coldwater River, and they have a nice dock out here. Everything that you'd want in the way of beauty. Alvy and his wife are visiting here from California, and we're especially anxious to find out about the early Lantman history, because the Lantmans were one of the earliest settlers in Butler Township. Alvy, when were you born?
I was born January the 12th, 1907.
Which makes you how old?
I'll be 72 next January.
And you were born on the old home farm?
I was born on the old home farm on the Jonesville Road.
In Butler Township.
Right.
And how many acres in that farm?
120 acres.
This farm backs up to the old Doc Lantman farm, too, doesn't it?
That's right.
Who was the original owner of the Doc Lantman farm?
As far as I know, Doc Lantman.
Where did Doc's dad settle when he first came to?
Well, he settled in... came from Greene County, New York, and he settled in Butler Township, Branch County, in 1848.
But you don't know whether it was on this same place or not?
No, I do not.
Okay. How many children did he have, or don't you know?
He had four children.
And what were their names?
Well, I'll have to look it up here. That is...
Well, it doesn't make too much difference, but Doc Lantman, your grandfather, was one of the children.
He was one of the children, is right. And that's where I derived my ancestry from, was right directly from one of his children, and carried on down through, so that now this Abraham Lantman had four children, but I don't have his the record of what his children's names were.
Well, Doc settled on this farm in 1850?
He settled in there on there in 1848.
Mm-hmm. How many children did he have?
He had four children. Now, Ambrose Lantman, Dr. Ambrose Lantman, my grandfather, his son...
Well, wait, am I confused? Doc isn't your grandfather.
Doc was my grandfather.
That's what I thought, and I thought he had nine children.
Abraham was his father.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Doc.
All right. Doc had 13 children, and eight of them were living.
They had 13?
They lived. That is,
live to grow up. Okay, and your father was one of those.
Yes.
Did any of the others stay in Branch County?
Oh, yes. They, there were most, in fact, most of them were in Branch County.
All right, well, can you think of some of the names?
Well, I have them right here, if I can find it. There was Charles, and Clara, George, Ambrose Epinetus, which is my father, and there was Jane, and there were two sons that both died early, 1 week old, Andrew, Carrie, Arthur, Leon, Bercy and Florence. And out of these, eight of them were living.
Some of those names are real familiar to me. In fact, I now own the old Doc Lampman farm, and
George was right across the road.
Yeah, I think it. Doc showed good judgment when he picked out some ground to settle on.
Well, I've always understood from my father that grandfather always claimed that he never could understand why he left that Garden of Eden in New York State and come out and settled on that stone pile. And there isn't a stone on that place big enough to throw at a robin.
Well, I suppose he had some of that clay soil in New York. But your folks' farm ran more to the dark soil, didn't it?
Low ground. Grandfather's was sandy soil, and most of my old place was clay soil, clay loam.
Then you had a kind of a black muck, too, didn't
and
you?
And we had, it went from, we had one little spot that was sandy, and it went from there right into black muck.
And you used, your dad used to raise strawberries down there.
He used to raise strawberries, and on the little, the only one patch he had that was sandy was always our watermelon and muskmelon patch, about an acre of it.
I remember picking strawberries down there for a penny a quart. And when I finally graduated to where I could get up in the shade and make the boxes for a penny a box, I thought I was doing something because I didn't get in the nettles and the thistles, and I could make just as much money sitting in the shade. But penny a box wasn't much, but as I remember, he only got about 8 cents a quart when he took them down to market.
So pick some down at 5 cents.
When you took out a penny for pickers and a penny for the labor of putting the boxes together and the cost of the boxes and the crates, I guess you didn't get rich on the strawberries. But it was something to do. Back in those days, a dollar was a dollar. How many children in your family?
There's 8 children in our family.
And their names?
Well, there was Harry, Ed, May, Charlie. Francis died very young, and then there was that she came between me and Louis, and then there was Louis and myself. And then Chester is the youngest one.
Seems though I've heard that the Lampmans like to fish quite a little.
Well, I would say that they, most of them were inclined that way.
And didn't your dad, wasn't your dad one of the first ones to go north deer hunting when we didn't have any deer down here?
He was.
Who went with him?
Well, I wouldn't say who went with him at first, but there was Ike Hillman and Leo Wilmar were two that I can recall right now that always went with them, and my youngest brother, Chester, and sometimes my brother-in-law, Glenn French, went, and Lewis went 1 year, but Ed was never the hunter. I don't think Harry ever went with
him. Seems to me I remember the talents being with the group too.
It might have been Earl, I believe. I don't think that Ira ever went. Don't remember him going.
They almost always brought back your deer, didn't they?
They had exceptionally good luck.
And didn't your dad like to hunt coon and other things of that nature?
My dad was a coon hunter, and he was also a taker of wild bee honey. He loved to climb trees and cut out wild swarms of bees.
He was also quite a religious man, wasn't he?
My dad was converted when he was 20 years old. And he joined the Methodist Church and was very religious.
He was also belonged to Masonic Lodge, didn't he?
He was a 50-year member of Butler Lodge number 88. And my grandfather was a charter member of Butler Lodge number 88 and was also worshipful master there for, I think, three years.
Well, Butler Lodge 88 is still operating, isn't it?
As far as I know.
It's an active lodge. And doing real well compared to some of the others that have had troubles. What other crops did your dad raise on his farm there?
Well, the one thing in particular that I can remember of was cucumbers.
You didn't like to turn your bottom up to the sun to pick those?
I picked cucumbers, bent over until I couldn't stand that anymore, and I'd get down on my knees and pick them until my knees got so sore I couldn't stand that, and I have been known to crawl right along on my belly and pick them. And he raised onions down on the muck, and I have wobbled around on my knees, straddle those rows of picking weeds out of those onions when it would, I'll swear, you could fry eggs on the muck.
Now, I think he had some big instance corn down there too, as I remember.
I can remember distinctly of instance corn that it was so wet in the fall that we couldn't get in there with a corn cutter to cut the instance corn. We had to cut it by hand, and some of it was 14, 15 feet tall. And when they finally got in, they got hard enough so they could get teams in there, they could only put on about a third of a load and get out with it.
I think I remember that fall because I was one of those guys out there with a corn cutter. But he was also one of the first members of the North Quincy Thrashing Company, wasn't he?
Right. Charter member.
And also on the North Quincy Telephone Company.
Yes, he was on the telephone company of North Quincy. I don't know what capacity he performed, office he held.
Well, we all owned a share, and we all owned our own phones, and we owned our own lines, and we cut our own poles.
And strung our own wires.
And strung our own wires. And the only thing we had to pay was switch fees. Did you have any trouble with having busy lines?
Yes. I distinctly remember of Dad getting very perturbed one time when he had a very sick cow. And he wanted to get the veterinary before the cow died. And there was a party on the phone that wouldn't give up the phone till they got through talking. And Dad was very perturbed. But the cow lived.
That's the main part. Well, what other things can you remember? Where'd you go to school?
Well, the person that graduated from this same school, he always referred to it as we were all graduates of Dobson College. And it was the Dobson School District, which is no more. The schoolhouse has long since been gone. And you'd never know now that there was a schoolhouse there.
Well, can't I argue with you a little bit on that schoolhouse long since been gone, Bill?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think if you drive down to the end of Jefferson Street, you'll find a church down there, and that is the old Dobson School.
Well, I didn't know that. I'm glad to know that.
You see, there was when they run short of school rooms at the high school, they moved in two of these country schools, one from Allegancy and one from Quincy. The Dobson School was one, and Allegancy was the other. And Linus Hayden still insists that the one that's left is Allegancy, and I insist that it is Quincy. And I've offered him $25 bet to prove otherwise, and so far he hasn't accepted the money. They come up with a change. But I'm quite positive that's the old Dobson School.
Well, with that knowledge, I will change my statement a little bit to the fact that where the schoolhouse stood is a field under cultivation at the present time.
Oh, that's right. What was your first teacher?
I couldn't remember the first one, but I can remember the last one that I had in the eighth grade. Was Mary Boone Kaiser.
Mary Boone Kaiser.
She still lives on her farm over in the Shipsbury area.
But you don't remember the first one?
I don't remember the first one.
Were you going there when Edna Bowen was there?
I don't remember.
I think Edna Bowen was my first one. And then there was a Cleela Henry that married a Doc Dumfries later. That was one of the early ones. How many went to that school?
Oh, as I remember, the biggest attendance that they had was 32 children in all eight grades.
And they used to have a pretty good baseball team there, didn't they?
We did have. I don't remember too much about the baseball, but I do remember that we had lots of rocks there, and we played duck on the rock.
Out under the old black walnut tree. Did you ever catch any shade bees out there?
We tried to.
I caught one once in the rain. It didn't turn out to be a shade bee. It was quite an event when the thrashing machine came around. Do you have any recollections as to the machine coming at Louis Moore's or Bird Gilbert's, which is across the road?
I can remember a machine, old steam engine, and a separator that was run by a man by the name of Tice. And I was pretty small, but I can remember the company thrashing rig, and I was big enough then, so they made me the blower monkey. And we were thrashing one day at Louis Moore's, and I sat up there, and that shaking of the separator put me right sound asleep. And we were working right beside of one of a good deep well. And the next thing I knew, I had a pail of cold water. I threw it all over me. I never did forget that. In fact, I never went to sleep again either.
Well, they had ways of keeping you on the job. You're lucky you didn't plug the blower.
Well, I did a couple times. And I got very... I learned very early not to do that anymore. I was talking with an old friend of mine today, and we were talking about smut in the oats, and I've seen the times setting up on that separator, bending the blower, when I couldn't see the end of the blower.
Didn't we blow the straw in the barn most of the time, too?
Most of the time, but they were still stacking quite a lot of it at that time.
I was on the other end of the blower, only do it in the barns in a lot of cases, and as I remember, that smutty stuff, you came out looking like you'd heated coal all day on a hot July day. After you left the country school, where'd you go to high school?
I went to Quincy High School,
and
I graduated from there in 1926 and came back in 1976 to celebrate our 50th graduation anniversary.
How many of the class of 26 were there?
Well, there was 23 in the class. Three had passed on, and there were 18 of us present. And there were two that were too ill to come.
I'd say that's very good. With only three gone, ours only had 13 in the class, and there was some gone within a year or two. After you got out of high school, where'd you go?
Well, I was working. I worked for my board with my brother, and I stayed with my sister for a while, and I worked for a man by the name of Elmer Dobson, and I finally hired out the co-ops as a truck driver under his brother Warren in 1929.
And how long did you work at the co-op?
13 years.
Didn't you work up to be manager there?
I was manager for the last 3 years. I left there in 1942.
And the old co-op is no more.
Building's there.
Yeah, it's moved to the private residence now, I guess. Then what did you do?
Well, I went to Willow Run, helped build B-24 bombers during the war. And after the war, I went down to Detroit, and I worked for an experimental, Bendix Experimental Aviation Department. And I came back from there and worked at Wayne until I was laid off there, and I left there in 1946 and moved to California.
How come California?
Well, we figured if we was going to starve to death, we didn't have any job and no work, if we was going to starve to death, we was going to do it someplace where we didn't have to freeze to death. We had no job. We knew one couple in San Diego, California. And We arrived in there December 20th, 1946, and I went to work December the 29th for General Dynamics, and I retired from there after 25 years of service.
Pretty good. Didn't have any trouble finding work out there then.
No. I was a little short of funds, and I went down to see why I wasn't getting my unemployment, and they saw to it that I didn't draw any more unemployment.
But you enjoyed that work over 30 years.
Yes, I enjoyed building airplanes. And 2 years ago, when I flew home, it was my first flight in a jet airplane. I built lots of them, and the way I've seen them build, I was kind of skeptical about riding in one of them because I was afraid it'd fall apart. But it didn't. We had a very enjoyable flight, and this is our third year for flying, and we've had wonderful flights.
How do you compare California with Michigan as a place to live?
We like it. In Southern California, where we live, we're very close to the desert. It is dry there now, and everything is brown except the gardens and the trees. And when we come back here and see all this greenness, why, it's quite a contrast. But while you people back here are shoveling snow, I'm mowing my yard.
Well, the Lampman family originally came from England, didn't they?
No, they originally came from, as near as I can find out, the first Lampman that this Mrs. Pardue, who is a Lampman genealogist, has been able to trace, left Hanover, Germany in 1570 and moved to Holland. And that is as far back as she's been able to go. We are Dutch, and some people insist that we're Pennsylvania Dutch, but as far as I know, none of us have ever resided in the state of Pennsylvania.
You think in order to be Pennsylvania Dutch, you've got to live in Pennsylvania, right?
Well, that's a general consensus of opinion.
What crops do you grow out there?
Well, we grow, in our part of the country, we don't grow many crops. It's plenty dry. We have good gardens. And we see some oats and barley that are raised for feed. They cut it as hay and feed it as hay. And once in a while, some wheat. But down in the Imperial Valley, which is 100 miles east of us, they raise alfalfa, sugar beets, carrots, and that's about they raise some grain down there also.
Ground is probably too valuable to raise too much grain.
Well, their hay down there is their big crop, their hay and their sugar beets.
But everything's irrigated.
Everything is irrigated. Has to be. If there's any dry cropping done, it's with the oats and barley, which they sow in the winter, and it ripens about the time when everybody around here is planting their grain.
Have you ever had any problems with water?
We've had lots of problems with water. In fact, last year they were talking about rationing our water and advising everybody to not water their lawns and to go very easy on their gardens. But this last winter season out there, where we normally get 10 inches of rainfall, we had 19 and a half inches this last winter, which is exceptional. That's in the 32 years that I've been out there, that's the most rainfall that I've ever seen.
You've kind of built your water supply back up again, then.
Well, yes, there are dams, our lakes, as we call them, our reservoirs, all of them man-made. And some of those that they predicted it would never spill over the dam spilled over this last winter, first time in 45 years.
I understand you went fishing today.
Well, we had a nice boat ride.
Oh, you mean that you went fishing once and didn't catch fish?
No, we caught some fish. We had three of us, had 11.
Where'd you go this time?
Up to Dragon Lake.
Now, they've been telling me what a good fishing lake that was.
Well, it could be for somebody that knows where the fish are, but we didn't.